Mesechs Megillah Pergdala Mishnah Hintel Pergdala Mishnah Ches. Our custom of reading the Haftorah, a part of Nach, or more specifically a part of Nevi'im, which is related to that week's parasha. This custom originates from the period during which the Greeks ruled over Eretz Israel, and a particular Greek ruler banned Kriyas HaTorah. And because it was a life danger to read Kriyas HaTorah, the Chachamim instituted that instead they would read a part of Nach, which was related to that week's parasha, which they should have been reading. Now, once they instituted this custom, so even once it was no longer dangerous and they were able to read the regular Kriyas HaTorah, the custom of reading the part of Nach as well remained, and that is the Haftorah, which we read still today. Nevertheless, now that we read Kriyas HaTorah as well, so the actual Kriyas HaTorah is certainly considered to be more significant. It's reading the Torah itself, it is a much older custom, already from the times of Ezra HaSefer, and possibly already from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. And because of that, somebody who is called up to read from the Sefer Torah itself, that is considered to be more significant, whereas the person who would read the Haftorah, that is considered a smaller honor. Now, in order that people don't think that we're putting this person down, and that we're suggesting that he is less honorable, and that's why he's getting the Haftorah, says the Mishnah, Hamaftir by Novi, the one who reads the Haftorah from Novi, who Peris al Shema, he does the process of being Peris al Shema, which, as we learnt earlier on, is when a group of at least 10 adult men get together to fill in the gaps of the parts of davening which need to be said in a minyan. And so it includes saying Baruch Hu, etc. So the person who would get the Haftorah, he would also get this job. And as well as that, V'hu Eved Lifnei Ateva. He also gets to be the Chazan, who will repeat Shmona Esrei, V'hu Nezes Kapov, and he will do Birkas Kohanim if he is a Kohen. Now this last one on the list, the fact that he does Birkas Kohanim, is quite difficult to understand, because that's not an honor to this person specifically, because every single Kohen can do Birkas Kohanim. If he is a Kohen, then he can do Birkas Kohanim. If he's not, then he can't. What has that got to do with the fact that he's doing Haftorah? So there are a number of different explanations which are given. One possibility is that it's not necessarily related to the fact that he did the Haftorah, rather it's related to the fact that he's going to be the Chazan. Because the truth is, it's not such a simple thing that the Chazan himself will do Birkas Kohanim. There is a debate about this in Maseches Brachos. So it could be that this mission is actually suggesting, like the opinion over there, that even the Chazan, which we said that the person doing the Haftorah is the Chazan, that even he is allowed to do Birkas Kohanim, as long as it won't make him confused and he'll be able to continue with repeating the Shemoneh Esrei immediately after the Birkas Kohanim. If that is the case, then he can indeed do Birkas Kohanim despite being the Chazan. Another explanation is just the fact that he does indeed get an honor for being the one doing the Haftorah, that he gets to, so to speak, lead the other Kohanim in the Birkas Kohanim. So he might start a tiny bit earlier, but he will lead the other Kohanim in the Birkas Kohanim. Those are two of the many explanations which are given. And the Mishnah ends off, V'imhaya koton, if this person who did the Haftorah was a child under Bar Mitzvah, so we're going to learn in the next Mishnah that a child is able to do the Haftorah. However, he is not able to be Peris al Shema or to be the Chazan, because those involve fulfilling the obligation of everybody else on their behalf. And there is a rule that somebody who is not obligated to do the mitzvah himself is not able to do it on behalf of others either. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Ovi the rabbi, his father or his teacher, Ovin al Yodai, there will be the Chazan on his behalf, and they'll also do the procedure of Peris al Shema, because those two things a child cannot do. Mishnah Vov, Katan, a child under Bar Mitzvah, Kori BaTorah, he can do Kriyas HaTorah, he can be called up to the Torah and read for everybody. The reason being, at least the way we're going to understand, is that there is no individual obligation on every person to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Rather, it was instituted as a mitzvah on the community, that in the shul there should be Kriyas HaTorah being read. Now, of course, since everybody is part of the community and part of the minyan, so everybody needs to hear it. But at its root, it is not an obligation on every individual person, rather on the community in general that there be a Kriyas HaTorah read in the shul. And for that, a child is sufficient. Now, if he can do Kriyas HaTorah, then all the more so, a mitargim, he can also translate it, he can be the mitargimon, since that is certainly not an obligation, that is more just in order to elaborate and explain the psukim to those who don't understand the Kriyas HaTorah. So if he's allowed to do the Kriyas HaTorah itself, then certainly he can be the mitargimon. Aval, however, in a Peris al Shema, he cannot do the procedure of being Peris al Shema. The in Ovel Lifnei Ateva, he cannot be the Chazan to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, as we saw in the previous Mishnah. Since there is an individual mitzvah on everybody, so he would be fulfilling their mitzvah on their behalf. And since he is not obligated, he cannot do so for others. In addition, the in Anosias Kapov, he can also not do Birkas Kohanim if there are no other adult Kohanim doing it. It is considered beneath the dignity of the entire community to wait and receive the Birkas Kohanim from a child alone. If there are other adult Kohanim, then it's okay for the child to join. But if for him to do it alone, that is not considered to be honorable towards the community, and therefore the child Kohen cannot do it himself. Alright, the second type of person the Mishnah is going to talk about now is a pecheach, somebody with torn and tattered clothing, and for certain things which are done in the shul, for him to be doing them would be considered dishonorable because of the state in which he is presented. However, Poris al Shema, he is able to be Poris al Shema, since their custom was that the person who was reading out the Baruch Hu and the first bracha of Kriyas Shema and the other things which were done as part of this procedure, he wouldn't do it in front of everybody at the center of the shul or by where the chazan would generally daven. Rather, he would do it in his seat, wherever he would generally sit. So he would be there and say it out loud from his regular seat. And because of that, it's not necessarily so recognizable how he is presented, and therefore it is permitted. Umasargeim. Again, he can also be the Benturgamon, he can translate the Kriyas HaTorah. Since again, that's not considered to be a real mitzvah. It's more to enhance the Kriyas HaTorah, to make sure people are understanding what is being read, and can fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. But it's certainly not considered to be a very significant obligation, and therefore he can do that. Avol ein kor b'Torah, but he cannot do Kriyas HaTorah itself. And he cannot be the chazan to repeat the Shemona Esrei, the Einu says Kapov. And he cannot do Birkas Kohanim because all of these things are done sort of at the center or at the front of the shul for everybody. He is clearly presenting and leading the community somewhat, and therefore it is considered dishonorable because of the way in which he is dressed. Third person the Mishnah now discusses is a Suma, a blind man. Part of the procedure of being Poris al Shema is saying the first bracha before we say Kriyas Shema. Since Baruch Hu requires a minyan, so Baruch Hu is essentially telling everybody to bless Hashem, to make a bracha. And therefore they need to say the first bracha before, which is generally said before Shema as well, immediately after Baruch Hu. But since a blind person doesn't really benefit from the light, and the whole focus of the first bracha before Shema is about the light, and how Hashem renews the creation and the beauty of it, and in particular the ability for us to see because of the light which there is. And even though the blind person doesn't necessarily see the light and benefit from it so much, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, he is able to be Poris al Shema because his bracha is considered to be like everybody else's bracha, since at the end of the day he does benefit from the light. The fact that other people can see and stop him stumbling and protecting him from harm, so that means that he also is essentially benefiting from the light. And therefore, according to the first opinion of our Mishnah, Poris al Shema, he can do the process of being Poris al Shema or Matargeim, and certainly he can be the Maturgumon, the translator, since that does not require seeing, since the translator would anyway always do it by heart. He would hear a Pasuk of Kriyas HaTorah and then translate it from memory. Alright, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Shelo Yom Oris Meyomov, anybody who has never seen light in his life, if he was totally blind from birth, so he has never actually benefited from the light, and therefore any Poris al Shema, he cannot be the one to do the procedure of being Poris al Shema, since he is not really obligated in the first bracha of Shema, because he can't fully praise Hashem for the light. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not enough that he benefits from others who benefit from the light. He himself needs to benefit from the light. And since he doesn't, and has never done so, he cannot be Poris al Shema.